Yeah, we can start with the next talk. So Harshit is going to talk about some bunch of open source tools that he and his team are writing for platform agnostic quantum.
Thank you, Alessandro. Hi, everyone. So my name is Harshit. I'm from India, and I work with QBraid as a quantum software engineer. And today I'm going to be talking about open source tools for platform agnostic quantum computing. That's a lot to take in, so bear with me. And it's going to be a little bit similar than the talk that we had just now with QMAT, but a lot more than that, right? So let's get started. So the agenda is threefold. First, we're going to be talking what exactly is QBraid, what are the motivations and why we exist. Then we're going to be diving into the open source tools which we have built. The first and the foremost is the QBraid SDK. In this, we have two components, the QBraid runtime and the QBraid transpiler, which enable, you know, users to develop platform agnostic algorithms, right? So sorry for that. And then finally, I'm going to be talking about a relatively new tool that's called PyChasm, which is, you know, transformation and analysis of quantum assembly language with Python. So let's get started. So first of all, let's understand why QBraid. And imagine you're a user and you're trying to get into quantum, or you're already in quantum, right? And think of your initial days. So what do? You learn a bunch of theory. You learn a little bit of linear algebra, some quantum information science, and then you want to actually run your quantum circuits first on the simulator and then on the hardware, right? How do you get access to that hardware? And let's say once you have learned a particular package, how do you, run your circuits to different hardwares, right? That was a problem that our founder also faced, like, I would say 4 years ago, and that is how QBraid was born, to be a one-stop platform enabling quantum computing and not having, as, the last speaker said, vendor lock-in, right? So this is one feature that we have that's called the QBraid Lab. What QBraid Lab provides is quantum software development in the cloud itself. And I'm going to be showing a quick demo after this slide. And you can, pretty easily start working with any particular quantum computing package like Qiskit or Amazon's Braket or Cirque's, or Google's Cirque, and also use QBraid SDK, which is our open source tool, to integrate your quantum jobs on different hardwares. Okay, and let's have some moving pieces now. So this is a demo. This is what you arrive at when you land at QBraid.com. And whenever you click start now, this is our account page. This represents what kind of plan you have, how many credits you have. And for the purposes of this demo, I'm going to be talking about three services: quantum jobs, devices, and lab environment manager. Why? Because they use the open source tools, which I'm going to be talking about post this demo. Okay. So first, let's talk about quantum jobs, right? So let's say you have any particular vendor you want to execute your quantum circuit on. You can see that through this interface. This is called the quantum jobs interface. And you can click on any particular job and see the details regarding how many qubits were present in that job, or what was the circuit depth, whether there were any measurements or not in that particular job, and the details about the provider on which this job was run. Okay, this is regarding quantum jobs. Then comes the devices. So we have a lot of integrations with different vendors which provide their simulators and hardware through our platform. So for the sake of this example, I'll take the example of AWS's State Vector Simulator. Here what you can do is that you can just get some details about the device, the pricing, the qubits, and the availability of the device, and what is the form of access. So here it's Braket, that's a package which AWS has developed. And next, we're going to be talking about the lab environment manager. That is present in the QBraid lab environment, which we'll just launch right now. That is a feature which allows you to develop Python virtual environments directly in the cloud and persist them across your sessions. So this is the lab interface, and this is very much like Colab, but a lot more tuned towards quantum computing. Okay, this is the lab environment manager. You have a lot of environments pertaining to a user, and you have a lot of environments which are publicly available for any user to install and work with. This is what I'm scrolling right now. And let's take an example of, let's say, PennyLane. This is Xanadu's environment, and we click install. That will be available for any user in their personal environment, which you can see here. And you can just click on it, activate it, and there you go. You can start using your Jupyter Notebooks right with this environment's kernel. Okay. I already have Qubit SDK installed, and we can just add the kernel for that particular environment. We can click on that notebook and run with all the good stuff present in that kernel for that notebook. So this was kind of setting the background for the tools, and the most important ones are Qubit SDK and PyChasm. And let's talk about Qubit SDK now. So as you saw that Qubit SDK is a tool which allows users to not think about how they're going to do something, but mostly about what they want to do. Let's say a user wants to write a quantum program. They only think about, okay, what's going to be the algorithmic details, but not the implementation details. So that is like the core motivation of Qubit SDK. And yeah, it's available on pip. You can install it. You can contribute to it. So yeah. And the feature right now I'm going to be talking about is Qubit Runtime. What this does is, material for after we talk about what the problem it's solving, right? Let's first imagine that you are a user and you have a high-level programming language and you want to execute your program on a quantum computer. How do you do that? Well, it's not very trivial. You need to, go through converting your program into an IR or an intermediate representation. Go through the stuff of client-side management, authentication, so on and so forth, then billing, and then finally executing on the hardware, and then getting back the results and transforming them, right? This is not very easy, and this is why we have built Qubit Runtime. What it does is that it will take your program, it will convert that to device-specific constraints, such as the gate set of the device or what kind of topology you have. Then finally, it will convert that to a quantum program IR, which can be open quantum assembly language, or it can be the LLVM IR, that is the QIR representation. And then finally, you have the client-side authentication, which is built into Qubit, which interacts with the Qubit API on the back end. So this is about Qubit Runtime. And now we will see another demo for Qubit Runtime. This is just another condensed information. So. Okay. All right. So I have a Jupyter Notebook running locally. And just to highlight that this is all local, you can also pip install Qubit and start working on this notebook, right? Given you have set it up correctly. So yeah, you can pip install Qubit. I'm not going to be doing that here. You can print the version. There are some abstractions present here, such as the provider or the device you're trying to run your program on. Provider here is Qubit because we are hosting all of these simulators which you are, seeing here, okay? And then we can choose, for the sake of this demo, the AWS's straight vector simulator. And you can clearly see that the target specification or the program type it expects is Braket, which has been developed by AWS. And for here, we're just going to be preparing a GHZ state. This is a very simple maximally entangled state. And we will set a shorts. Again, a key point to note here, we're going to be building in packages which are not directly supported on AWS. Here, we're building in Circ, which is a Google's package. Post that, we'll build in Qiskit. And then send directly to the AWS simulator so that we can, see how good Qubit SDK is. This will take some time because obviously this is interacting with the actual AWS backend, but I will anyway run the jobs. And just to explain a little bit, this is a simulator object. We run the circuit, and hey, we got results. Perfect. And these are the probability of our results. Similar case is with the Qiskit. Circuit, we again take the AWS simulator, run the Qiskit circuit, get the results back and display them. Okay, so this is just promoting the efficacy of Qubit that we are actually using different packages to run circuits on different devices. Okay, getting back to the presentation. All right. So yeah, as you saw that this enables agnostic quantum development. You can code in any package and execute on any backend with Qubit. And you can also see our runtime user guide, which we have on docs. We currently integrate with Qiskit, Microsoft Azure, then AWS, OQC, IonQ. There are also other providers such as Qera and NEC, which are integrated, but these are one of the foremost. And yeah, this was the demo for runtime. Now let's go behind the scenes. How do we do that? So we have something called the Qubit Transpiler, which detects and makes your circuits runnable on a quantum device, right? Let's dive into the details of that. It allows you to convert one package to another, transform your program to device-specific requirements, and then finally also enables access to any optimizations that you have in a particular package, right? Because that's integrated with our SDK. The model is similar to a graph. I think most of you are familiar with the graphs in computer science. Every single node we have is a quantum computing package, and an edge to another package is a conversion path. So let's say we choose Circ, and we want to convert to, let's say, Qiskit. So either we can go through Circ bracket Qiskit, or we can choose Circ to Chasm 2 to Qiskit. So this is our transpiler model. This is how it works behind the scenes. And our tests do ensure that there is unitary equivalence, or basically there is no loss between converting one particular circuit from one package into another. And we have a very robust unit test for that. And you can easily execute, as we saw, a Qiskit circuit on an Amazon backend. So you can also see code here, which is present in our GitHub repo. And this is like the example for the conversions. Let's say you take Qiskit, which is IBM's quantum computing package. You call qubit.transpile on it. You take the circuit, you take the target, and then you can transpile a circuit to, let's say, AWS, Circ, OpenGASM, PennyLane, or anything else. Again, this is a demo notebook which you can, see to just see this in action, something like that. Now, finally, we also have a pretty vibrant community, and we have a lot of issues and help required in Qubit SDK and other open source tools. And we also participate in Unitary Hack, in which contributors can actually, submit PRs to different issues that we've registered for Unitary Hack. And currently, we also are part of the QOSF Mentorship Program, which is a quantum open source foundation, where they run different cohorts for different mentees to participate in and develop cool projects. So, yeah. And now let's talk about PyChasm. So PyChasm is a tool which we have recently developed for, OpenChasm program transformation and analysis. And this is also pip installable. You can, play around with it. You don't even require any kind of, access from Qubit to interface with it. So let's think about motivations first. And for those of you who don't know, OpenChasm, or Open Quantum Assembly Language, is one of the most popular IRs in quantum. And that the effort has been, undergoing with IBM a lot. And Chasm version 3.x, which was released, in recent years, has a very extensive grammar. So it is almost like Python, if you see it. And there are tools which support type check-in and semantic analysis, but there's not a tool which supports comprehensive semantic analysis. So for example, if you see here, this is an OpenChasm code segment. You can see there are functions involved, there are qubit declarations involved, there are loops involved, then there are, types involved. How do we actually make this OpenChasm program runnable on a quantum device? Because those devices just support, let's say the Clifford set, or let's say the RZ plus CX set, so something like that. Sorry, R rotation plus CX. So this is the main motivation. And currently, we have extensive support for each of these features which are present on this and more. And a feature which I'd like to highlight is program unrolling and validation. So by unrolling here, I mean, let's say we have a very large program and we want to decompose it down into sequential instructions which a quantum computer can execute. That is what unrolling is. And we also have some support for transformation analysis, wherein you can, plug in your quantum program, the OpenChasm program, then, start analyzing, how many number of qubits do we have, what's the depth of the program, do we have barriers or measurements, or so on and so forth. This is the complete directory, and just spit out errors if there are any. So that was about PyChasm. And these are the references. These are you'll have to access the slides because these are links. I didn't add the full URLs here. And these are the contact information. Thank you. Any questions?
In the transpilation section of your Shalini graph, you mentioned that you have already ensured that it's lossless when you transit across multiple nodes, regardless of the path, which made me wonder why the connections were the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there was a lot more work that was put into it than was necessary.
Yes. So initially, what we came from was a hub and spokes model. He's asked that the transpiler, why is the transpiler model the way it is? And like, it might be that there's a lot of work which has been put into it, and it can be probably simplified, right? If I'm not wrong. So initially, what we had was a hub and spokes model, where at the center there was chasm, and every provider went through chasm and then through the other package, something like a bicycle wheel, right? We have spokes. But what we found that our native converters couldn't actually match the speed of convergence which was present in direct converters. So for example, let's take the example of, let's say, bracket to Qiskit, right? So if there is a package which directly converts bracket to Qiskit and back, then we couldn't actually use that speed or, their functionality. So what we tried to do is that combine, the best of both worlds and develop a graph-based model. And this is not complete because the edges also have weights. So if the convergence is not exact, what we do is that we try to find out decomposers in the current package, decompose the program, and then try to convert one-to-one map from the source to target. And that incurs loss. So that means the edges are actually more weighted if we do not have direct convergence. So something like that. Thank you. Any other questions? And one more thing. You guys can, log into Qubit and get some free credits with this code. One second. What's the code? Yeah. You can just log into Qubit and enter this access code on the account, and you can get some like $10 worth of credits. So, yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you use the Chasm module that you load with SpyCast?
Mm-hmm.
Passing it to the runtime or to the interface?
Yeah, you can use that because, so Alessandro asked that can we directly use the Chasm module object to be passed as runtime? Not exactly Chasm module object, but we can directly use the Chasm which it dumps, right? So we can just use pychasm.dumps of that object and then use the string representation, right? That's equivalent, right?
For the runtime, you can take
Chasm, yeah.